Hey, I'm Scott Hanselman. It's Azure Friday. We're here with Aaron Roney, and we're talking about the Azure CLI, the command line interface.
Yes, Scott. How are you today?
I'm brilliant because I am all about the CLI. I'm like obsessed with the CLI, and I've been using the original Azure. They call it the XPLAT CLI.
Yes.
Not a PowerShell fan. I mean, they keep trying to convert me, but I like piping stuff to other stuff in my way with text.
With text.
The way we were meant to do it.
Indeed.
So there's a 2.0, and it looks really different. And I remember the original one was written in Node.
Yes.
What's going on?
So we made the decision to switch to Python just because some of our users pointed out that it wasn't native to the experience of Unix Mac users. Mm-hmm. So part of the reason why we have both Python and an XPLAT CLI is because we have users that are more familiar with Python, and we have users who are more familiar with Windows, and other users who are more familiar with Node. Mm. The reason why we wanted to switch to Python away from Node was because of the experience that we were giving to our users on Unix.
Yeah.
On Windows, PowerShell really helps
with
people who are used to that experience. And the new Python CLI is much more native to the experience in Bash and other shells that Unix users use.
Yeah. I understand in the DevOps world, like, you know, Python is kind of the PowerShell of Unix.
Exactly.
Okay. So I remember that before I would just download an installer. How do I get it? Do I apt-get this?
Yeah, so you can apt-get. You can also pip install. If you're a Python user, that's something that most of our Python users use, but we have plenty of users who don't use Python. So apt-get is fine.
Okay.
Pip install is fine. We also have a curl install, so you can just pull down a script and we'll install for you,
mm-hmm.
set up tab completion and things like that.
Cool.
And you can also do homebrew coming soon.
Nice. That's cool. So all the package managers, getting it is really easy.
Yes.
Can you show me how we log in?
Sure. So the login is actually very similar to experiences that you've seen in both PowerShell and the XPLAT CLI. And in this case, it's just AZ login.
All right.
And what we get is this kind of prompt here with the device registration. So I'll just copy this.
So it says go to device login. So it's hanging right here. It's kind of like sitting and waiting.
Yes.
And I've seen this before when I do activations on like my Roku or things where it's like, you know, setting. It's like, here's a code. Go over here. We'll use that code to compare the two. And I'll wait while you do that.
Yeah. So it makes your life a lot easier, especially if you're kind of doing a one-off type of operation here.
Mm-hmm.
We just send you this code. And if you log in with your credentials, and this code, like you said, mm-hmm. kind of pairs them together. We'll paste this code right into here. And then I can continue. And it will give me options for the different accounts that I use. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to select my personal account here. And if we hop back over here, we'll see that I've logged in. And now I have all of my accounts listed for me.
Could you command plus that a little bit for me?
Sure.
So,
let's do
that again.
So this is our commands. AZ account list is kind of what you get back after you log in.
Okay. So in the back, there was, I'm sure, of course, certificate exchanges. Like
indeed.
That was an extremely secure thing that we just did.
Yes.
No passwords were stored or
harmed. No passwords. There is a kind of device SSH key that you get that we store locally. But as long as you don't share that with anyone, there's no issues there.
Mm-hmm. And am I to understand that the REST API that we use, that backend API that when you log into the portal in your browser, it's talking to a backend API.
Yes.
You're talking to the same thing.
Exactly same thing. So the Python SDK is actually generated from those endpoints. Mm-hmm. And then this Python CLI is built around that Python SDK.
Okay. So to put it even more in a pointed way, because I want to kind of like hold you down to this,
you're
not calling any secret or undocumented APIs.
No.
It's straight classic.
Everything is a public API surface, the same similar surface to what the portal uses, the same surface that all of the other SDKs use, .NET, Go, Node, all of those SDKs use that same exact public REST service.
It's cool. It's nice that you have things just be out in the
open.
It is. Okay, so those are your accounts. You've got some personal ones. You've got your MSDN account.
Yeah.
You got disabled, are those disabled in Azure or disabled in your command line?
They're disabled in Azure. They're actually old accounts that I've since deleted, don't need anymore.
Okay.
And so I try to keep it down to two if I can.
And then there's a default. How did it know that's the default?
So Azure actually kind of detects your default based on your usage. So lately, because I set up some VMs last night and I did some work yesterday in my personal account, Azure kind of moved the default to that account. So now when I log in, that's what I'll see. But in the future, if I'm starting to use a different account, it will actually switch that depending on usage.
That's actually a small thing, but it's a nice touch.
It is.
In the Node CLI, you log in, and then you immediately have to figure out how to switch active accounts.
Yes.
And it can almost be the first stumbling block.
Yes.
So it's cool that you have to do that. So you right now have an available account. Now you said AZ, noun,
yes.
And then verb.
AZ, noun, verb.
Okay, if I just type AZ, what do I get?
So, very, very good question. So, AZ kind of just lets you know what's going on. And we actually, every command has a dash H. So, we have an AZ-H here.
Nice.
And many of the commands have subgroups. So, say we go to account, that happens to not have a subgroup.
Mm-hmm.
And so, all of the things you'll see on account are actions that you can take. Clear, list, set, show, all of your verbs.
Okay.
But for some others, like, say, VM, they may have subgroups. So you'll see we have things like the verbs, mm-hmm. capture, create, deallocate, delete, etc. But we also have subgroups. So there are availability sets that you can set up for VMs. There are disks, extensions, images, etc. So then you would keep on tacking on those subgroups, more nouns, until you get to the group you need. And then use some type of action verb.
Mm-hmm. And having these standard things, like you said, list and show and set.
Yes.
That feels a lot like other command lines that I've used, like, you know, git remote.
Yes.
Show git remote list.
Yeah. So that's part of the way that we designed the new Azure CLI around that concept. The fact that we want it to be intuitive to users who use other batch oriented type command line tools.
Mm-hmm. Can you create some stuff? Is it okay?
Yeah. Let's create something here. So one of my favorite demos is, what do I do if I don't know what I'm doing at all? So I just know that I want to create a VM. And like you said, some of those verbs are very native. So let's just do AZ VM create. And one of the things that I love about this new CLI is how easy it is to use if you don't know what you're doing. So for example, I don't know what I'm doing. I didn't know that I needed an image. So we will say, okay, I needed an image, AZVGM create image, and I can actually tab here. This is one of the other cool features of the
So did it just make
CLI.
A REST call when you hit tab?
Yes, we also cache it, but if you haven't cached it yet, we make a REST call. And these are actually the top 10 operating systems chosen by users in the portal.
Because my first impression, like, okay, I don't know how to do create, hit create. Oh, I didn't know image was required. Hit, I don't know what an image should be.
Exactly. So if you happen to know the name of a specific image that isn't one of these top 10, then you can type that in. But we'll also complete any of the top 10 images for you just to make your life a little bit easier.
Okay, so then if you type UB
tab,
so it'll bring Ubuntu.
If I type UB tab, I'll go ahead and get Ubuntu there. And again, we don't know what we're doing, so we'll hit enter. We don't know what we're doing here. Ah, so I need a resource group. So we'll do the same thing. Actually, let's go ahead and clear here to get some more space on the screen. So we need a resource group, which is dash G. Okay. I can also tab this. So if I've forgotten my resource group names.
Yeah, which I always do.
I do the same.
Yeah.
And very similar here, I have a few. And so if I'd like, I can just type Aaron D tab. And now we'll chunk out my Aaron demo group. Might have to hit tab again here.
How do you know it's making that kind of call?
So that's a good question. That's something
It'd be
that we
cool to have a spinner.
Yeah, we plan on improving that in the future. That it's kind of like you said, we were waiting here for a while and we're wondering is.
But I've also had times when it doesn't wait at all. So
exactly,
you know, it could be Wi-Fi, it could be whatever. But it'd be cool. A spinner would be cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's your group.
So now we got the group, and then same thing again. We don't know what we're doing, so we'll just hit enter, and now we know that name is required. So I'll go ahead and give it a name here.
Well, there's a whole pile of stuff here. These all look. Requiredy, how do I tell what's required here, what's optional?
Yeah, so every command has a set of global arguments is what we call them. So we have dash H, dash out, verbose, debug, query, things like that. Those are optional to all of the commands.
Okay.
Anything that's in square brackets, those are optional.
Ah, okay.
So that's another big thing about this CLI is that it's much more, it has way more smart defaults. Mm. We only actually need these three. The last one I'm about to do is the last one we need.
Okay, cool.
So I'll go ahead and type a name here, and I think I had some other ones, so let's do my VM7. And I actually know that it's gonna work this time, so we're gonna do no wait. So
does that mean synchronous versus asynchronous?
Exactly. So we're actually doing some studies around this to see what users like. Maybe what users actually want is to always no wait by default. So we're actually doing some work to learn more about what users like. But if you don't use no wait, it'll wait at the command line.
Will it spin and show me like ASCII art?
No, it won't. Not yet.
So here's a question, and this is kind of a remembering when I was doing a lot of Unix professionally. I could say no wait, and then I'll never really know.
Yeah, so
what's the difference between that and then just like putting an ampersand and spawning off a process and then I just let it take over the command line and jump in when it's got something to say?
Yeah, you can do that as well. That's perfectly fine. We just wanted to make the experience of not waiting embedded into the CLI in case you maybe aren't super familiar with how to do ampersand and check it out.
And if I did do
later.
Ampersand, it would interrupt me like later and take over the console and go, I'm done.
Yes, yeah.
Ah, cool. All right.
So we'll go ahead and hit enter here. And to your point, we can actually check to see what's going on after we get a little bit kicked
off. That
was
my next question. So I would expect that there's a way to call status and see how that's going.
Exactly.
Pending operations.
Yes. Yeah. So we'll go ahead and
I give you a little bit of a hard time about the ASCII art and stuff like that, but it's an interesting, in the world of CLIs, mm-hmm. with things like Yarn and NPM and different, you know, there seems, and Docker.
Yes.
They're getting very fancy with their, you know, I was doing a Docker pull recently and it was multiple asynchronous, you know, growing ASCII, it was like a BBS or whatever, and I was just like, wow, is that what we're doing now?
I think, you know, at some point that might be cool. For right now, we're trying to provide as many features as possible, but I wouldn't be surprised if eventually we want to start making it more aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah, making it work is always number one.
Exactly.
Making it pretty, we'll do that later.
Exactly.
Okay, so you fired that off. That's off doing its job.
So I fired that off, and we can actually then list our VMs here.
Ah, so the pending operation is in the list of VMs.
Yeah, so what we actually did is we submitted a request to Azure, and we said, you know, you go ahead and continue, we'll check back later. And we'll see actually my VM7 there is in the middle in a creating state. So we have a few that are, most of them are succeeded that I've used or built before, and we have one that's in a creating state right now.
Okay, so I think I understand how this works now. If you wouldn't mind, bear with me, mm-hmm. hit AZ again.
Uh-huh.
And then AZVM, because I don't know what I'm doing,
yep.
to your point.
So you can, the AZ
cool.
does the default.
Yeah,
there's a list there, but if you want really good information,
you go dash dash
we
help,
just,
yeah.
yep, dash H there.
Okay, so scroll up a smidge. Where's the part where it was saying JSON or tables or stuff? I want to see that VM list another way.
Yes. Okay. So there's a few different options here. We encourage users to configure if they know exactly what they want.
Mm-hmm.
So at any time, you can run AZ configure and reset your settings to choose your default output.
Okay.
So we've got JSON, color JSON, table, which is kind of what we just saw, and then a TSV, which is more for your grep set
users. You got to do pretty JSON.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and switch to two. Here, and now if we do AZVM list, we'll get the same output,
awesome.
But in color JSON.
So I could also do that with a ubiquitous command. I could go dash
exactly.
JSON C.
So you can also...
Which is a dash format?
Just dash out.
Dash out.
Dash out or output.
Okay, and then this gets to the point of, as a DevOps person, I'm going to be piping that through things. I can do it as a CSV.
Exactly.
Whatever makes me happy.
So if we want TSV and we know we want to grep, we can just use TSV. And one of my favorite things, because that's a lot of data to parse right
it
there,
is.
What we can actually do is we can even query the data with a James Path query. So James Path is kind of like JQ or some other utilities that users native to Unix would understand. It's
mm-hmm.
it's more of a JSON data parser.
Right.
So you can say, I only want that, so I'm going to ask for that.
Right, and it's less AUKI and SETI than...
Exactly, it's less AUKI and SETI. So we can actually say for each element in my list, I actually want to return an object. And so I can say something like, I want name.
And this is your projection.
This is my projection.
Nice.
So square brackets are for each element in the list, dot, and then I'm going to project. Yeah, it's kind of like a map, right? And then I can also say I want a thing called OS, and it's a little bit deep in there.
Oh, I see. You're pulling it up and then projecting it at the top level. You're digging out the OS disk type.
Yes, exactly.
And making a top level name an OS object.
I'm digging out what I want. But while we use JSON objects internally, you can still pipe this kind of JSON querying to a TSV if you would like. So we can actually chunk that out to a TSV. Did I? I did. Quite correct there.
I saw this thing. Yeah, you're going to have to control C yourself to glory.
Yeah, I'm trying to. There we go. I was command C-ing.
I saw this thing on Twitter recently that said that, you know, you're a real DevOps person if you'll go up, up, up into your bash history 30 rather than just type the thing again.
Yeah. All right, let's go ahead and get this proper quote in here. So we can get that as a TSV. And if you're used to things like grep,
yep,
we can just grep that, pipe that straight to grep. And just grab our Linux VMs.
See, I have to say that I'm getting a little wistful because you may have converted me to the new stuff. This is fantastic. Thanks for showing us that today.
Oh, my pleasure. I appreciate being here.
This is just a taste of the great new stuff that's happening in the Azure Command Line 2.0, and we're learning about it here on Azure Friday.